Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. You are listening to the only show that will provide you with the constitutional process that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution and actually get rid of over 95% of all of our problems. That process is Republic Review, and this is here and how you learn about it. The show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And if you're tuning in to hear more about the reading of the Constitution, you missed it. Monday through Thursday, we literally covered the entire Constitution. And I know, because I've actually got a few feedbacks from different listeners, that it was well received. I understand that for some people, it's just not the easiest thing to sit there and listen to somebody reading the Constitution. But if you've never read it, then there's no better process to become at least familiar with it, having somebody read it to you. I highly recommend everybody sit down on the 17th of September every year and read that document. I know it'll be frustrating, especially those of us who understand the hard limitations on the federal government. It will be very frustrating to see all of the things that they're doing that they have no authority to do. That being said, we still need to read it so that we can understand just how far out of whack they are and how we can spread the word, getting other people informed so that they can start supporting the process called Republic Review and getting the federal government back into that framework of the Constitution again. And as I always do, I definitely want to grovel a little. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of humility. I would like to basically, you know, if you're interested in becoming a part of the solution, if you want to help, you're more than welcome. Anybody that wants to square shoulders with me and fight the good fight, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And with that, we can actually work together in defining what we need to do and literally getting the federal government back into that framework. But you'd be surprised how effective you can be if you have a computer and a phone. I mean, literally, you don't have to travel. You don't have to do anything. But I know that there are some, because I've had quite a few, that have reached out. And I've got some of these people engaged. They're actually getting involved. One of the things I tell you, if you're not already doing it, go get involved in your local GOP. We have to take that party back. We have to fix it because right now it's broken. It's working from top down. It needs to be a bottom up. That's why it's considered a grassroots entity, because it literally is supposed to be a bottom up organization. But instead, everything happens to be coming from on high and drilling down. They make you think that everything is going bottom up, but I'm telling you, it's not. So get out there, you know, sign up as a precinct committee officer, you know, volunteer, become a executive if you can, become a leader in your community. And that is definitely one way of being able to do that. So with that, I got to give you my other obligatory comment here. And first off, before I do, because I don't say this enough probably, I do want to thank you for tuning in. It is you that is making the show grow. It is you that is getting the attention of the show in other forums. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that you are sharing the fact that this is not tongue-in-cheek here. I know I'm not an entertainer, and that's not the intent. I do not care to create any market space. This is not about market space. This is actually about definitive solutions and how we can start working together in literally directing and becoming a part of the solution in saving our Constitution as well as our Republic. So with that, thank you. And also with that thank you, I did look at the news. I have some comments on the news, but I do want to tell you that there is no sign of the federal government relinquishing any of its roles, responsibilities, and powers. And we have to engage. We have to get the states to step in for us, in our behalf, in protecting us from federal tyranny. Because if they don't, if this does not happen, I'm going to give you some ideas, and I've already given you other ideas. I call that marketing. And so I've got some news that I'm going to use as marketing. And there's plenty of old news that is more than available to help, I believe, market or help persuade people to go, you know what, that is definitely not where I want to be. As you know, and actually, as you haven't heard, I did have another follow-up interview with Mitchell Gerber, and so I will be playing that next week sometime, and probably Tuesday. And the reason being is it's essential content that kind of helps you understand what life is really like in a communist country. If you can't tell already, the tone and the direction, the liberals are already becoming very intolerant. You either toe the line or you will be obliterated. They take a scorched earth attitude and they will take it out on you if you stand in their way. And when they have full control, things will totally change, because it won't be just scorched earth. You will just disappear. The going away in the Italian sense will become more of a known or an understood metaphor, because people will just go away. There are 300 million political prisoners that just went away in China, and they're sitting there in these political prisons, and they're just waiting for somebody to come along that needs their vital organs so that the state can cash in on that life and basically burn what the remains are, and then it's done. And I have a hard time fathoming and understanding. Even if it was myself and I needed a liver or I needed a kidney, I would not get on a plane and go to China and do that. I can't imagine. They're talking about 60,000 people, 100,000, I think, in one report, that are doing that. They're getting on planes and taking the life of a human being so that they can obtain their organ. Anyway, we'll get into that on Tuesday. It's a very interesting conversation. And so, as I said, this is all about marketing, so you got to love communism, because that's what's coming, that's what we've got, that's the direction this country is going. And so if you want to understand, not only does China have this kind of chilling concept of being able to just move people into political prisons and then just steal their organs, and that's all they're good for. I mean, it's not like here where you go to jail because you're serving a sentence. You become a political prisoner, that means you're gone. That means that you're not serving any time for a crime you did. You're just gone. And you'll never be back. So China is actually playing around with this new system, and they've actually tested this. But this system is to control everyone. This is kind of interesting. And anybody that is believing in these chips, you know, these RFID, are they going to plant a chip in you? You're fooling yourself. I've actually written, and it's not in an article, but I've written some responses to people. This is my personal opinion. This is GR's personal opinion, that when you start looking at the technology that we have today, and if you understand the mark, supposedly we're supposed to take a mark on our hand or our forehead or what have you, I don't believe that. When John the Revelator was talking about those particular things, I do not believe he really understood what the technology was that he was looking at. He thought that there was a mark on the hand, he thought that there was a mark on the face, or what have you, and that everything was being done this way. This is what China is doing, and it has nothing to do with RFID chips. China's status government is moving so quickly to introduce these social scorecards, in which all citizens will be monitored 24/7 and ranked on their behavior. I want you to fathom that. They're actually going to be spying on them 24/7 in the home and everywhere else. So they already had an active pilot program that has already been tested on millions of people, each assigned a score out of 800, and each reaped either its benefits or suffered the consequences, depending on which end of the scale they sat. Under the social credit scheme, points are lost and gained based on readings from sophisticated networks of 200 million surveillance cameras and a figure set to triple in 18 months. Who's building all of these computers and these cameras for them? Well, the nice thing is we're sending all this new technology to have them build. What they do is they steal that technology and then they start manufacturing. It's not like they've ever been able to come up with any of this stuff on their own. They're just really good copycats. So this program has been enabled by rapid advancements. Now listen to what they're doing here. They're using facial recognition, body scanning, and geo-tracking. Now, how is this geo-tracking working? Well, they're using their phones currently, so they're keeping track of them that way. But I will tell you, the biometrics is all that you need. And as a matter of fact, all they have to do at any point in time is they can track you with your biometrics as far as from one camera to the next camera to the next camera to the next camera. I mean, it is literally hard that you have to be put in a box and have somebody carry you and pass you off to really get out of that site and out of their purview. But I will be back to finish this concept and what could easily be coming here in the rest of the world if we don't watch out. We've got to become very valiant in getting back our constitutional liberties. With that, I've got to go for a hard break, so I'll be right back after a word from my sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so just to be clear, the data that they're going to be collecting is combined with a lot of information that they already have, that they've already been collecting on their people. These things are, you know, records that come from the government. Records like medical, educational, financial, your internet browsing, those types of things, your buying habits, all of that type of stuff. Overall scores can go up and down in real time dependent on a person's behavior, but they can also be affected by those who you associate with. if you, your best friend, somebody in your family happens to make a comment that is negative about the government, you will lose points. Now, I don't know about you, but as they start unrolling and as we start getting more information on this, I think you will start having a much clearer picture as how China is truly implementing the communist or the globalist state that they want to probably roll out as a part of the globalist economy, the globalist world of governance and so forth. But with that, I just also want to point out communism right here in America, or at least the communist activists as they constantly move this forward, are social justice warriors. Got to bring in the NFL, right? Apparently, the stars are not happy, or I should say the rank and file stars are not happy with regards to how they have ended up on their contracts with the NFL. In other words, people like Eric Dickerson, who signed a contract and made millions or whatever for, and obviously he knew what he was getting. Nowhere in that contract was he guaranteed a retirement or anything like that. However, he's now protesting and now basically stating, hey, we're going to boycott the Hall of Fame, you know, inductees from now on and any of these types of NFL events or what have you, if the NFL does not give them lifetime benefits. Are you serious? So you happen to go into business for yourself and you can't give yourself, you know, any benefits. You just barely get by your whole life. And then when you finally have to close down because you can't work anymore, you just boycott yourself because you didn't get any benefits. Or, oh, I see, because you've got a goose that's laying golden eggs called the NFL, you should be able to go and squeeze them for things that you didn't demand in your salary, something that you didn't put in your contract. And so you figure, well, you can use your social justice warrior attitude to ensure that they can redistribute some wealth for everybody. Are you serious? This is why it is very important to understand contracts, my friends. There's another thing I want to get into before I actually get into the ratification debates. I've got Madison in the queue, and he's waiting for us very patiently. But I don't know if you've ever been to Epoch Times, but they kind of have some interesting articles and material and so forth. And it kind of caught my eye the other day that there's this Chapter 9 in the Epoch Times. And if you want, I can put the link up. But just Google Chapter 9, The Communist Economic Trap. And they actually get into, you know, this communism and their goal of communism here in America, along with the Europeans and so forth. And the specter of communism did not disappear with the disintegration of the Communist Party in Eastern Europe. Most people think that it's gone. And as a matter of fact, then if you think that, then you do not know or have never heard of my friend Trevor Lawton, who is a subject matter expert on communism. He's actually pointing out how there are active congressmen in both Republican and the Democratic Party throughout Congress, as well as the states, that are in bed with the communists. They're literally working and trying to push issues. And so you need to check out Trevor Lawton's blog as well as his content. He wrote the book Enemies Within. There's a movie about it. I highly, highly recommend that you check that out. And I guess that really kind of puts the drive. I've got to talk to him about getting him on so that we can talk more about this, because he's really peeling the onion back. And there are lots of layers to this onion as far as how many people are truly in league with the communist efforts in overthrowing our government, or basically discarding our Constitution and setting it aside so that we can actually become a part of the global governance of communism. So in the table of contents, because this is kind of highlighted for me, so I just kind of brought this out to give to you so that you can kind of see what this article talks about or what this chapter gets into. It's obviously got an introduction. But the first section in this chapter is the developed Western countries practicing communism by another name, high taxes and generous social welfare, aggressive economic inventionism in Western countries. Socialist economics lead to communist totalitarianism. Section 2, the dystopian socialism of the Chinese Communist Party. And I've been talking a lot about what they're doing. The Chinese economy, no relaxation of communist control. The truth behind Chinese communist or economic rise, and how I've been telling you that America has been subsidizing, you know, this whole growth of Chinese communism, communism period, and socialism around the world. And the third part of this section is the consequences of the Chinese economic model. The third section of this chapter, the ravages of socialism in the developing world. Socialism continues to haunt Eastern Europe. Socialist economics failed the developing nations, and they even point out the references. So I would, I just recommend if you kind of go out there, you can really look and delve into, you know, just how close we are. I mean, I told people last night on Facebook, social media, that you need to go, and I highly recommend that you yourself go and Google the 45 goals of communism. I cited these goals in my first book. These goals came from the Naked Communist. I got Cleon Skousen's foundation, W. Cleon Skousen's foundation's approval to cite those. And if you read those, you will see just exactly how close we are to actually being accepting and being communist ourselves. There's only a few things that are keeping us from actually tipping over, and it is really that Constitution. If we do not take the action soon, the last few barriers, your right of conscience, your right of speech, your religious, and these are the last things to go, because they've already instituted all of these socialism programs or communist programs like Social Security, welfare, the redistribution of wealth through the welfare systems and so forth. If you're not getting it, go Google the 45 goals of communism, and that'll bring you up the Naked Communist by W. Cleon Skousen and these 45 goals that they have. You will find that in the 50s, he was forecasting the stuff that was going to be happening, homosexual marriage, the debasement and the immorality that's going to be taught in the schools and so forth. I don't know what else to tell you other than the fact that we're too close. Anybody that thinks that, you know, we've got plenty of time, I think that they're in absolute denial or they're idiots, one of the two. I do want to talk about the one thing that's probably been burning everybody, that they just want to hear about this. And I know that Kavanaugh is more, well, so is he a qualified person? Because people go, well, what do you think of Kavanaugh? Every single candidate, or I should say potential Supreme Court justices that Trump has identified, are all a part of, they're conservative, but they're all a part of the big government mind model. I really will never believe that they'll ever find a, because it's just impossible. I've not found really a judge or a lawyer that is absolutely written articles and facts and documents regarding the true framers' intent and how unconstitutional America is, because you cannot be successful in law and in being a jurist by clinging to those paradigms, by clinging to what the framers had said and established. They're all in sync. They're all in league with each other. And it is because we need them to interpret the Constitution. I don't think we do. I know we don't. But they're convinced that we need them because it's way too complicated. How many times have you heard another supposedly real good constitutional conservative entertainer say, because I don't want to mention his name, but he says, oh, it's all complicated, folks. This is really complicated. No, it's not. It's very simple. It's either enumerated or it's not enumerated. It's either there or it isn't there. It's not like, well, it's kind of, you know, when Blackmun made the assertion on the Roe v. Wade decision that there were emanations from penumbras within the Constitution, and most people don't even know what that is. There's this like reflective ambient light that's kind of coming around the eclipse of the moon that, you know, kind of means that, what? Are you serious? He violated, and they've been violating the Constitution through these interpretations. It's either there or it isn't there. The federal government has no, they had no jurisdiction over Roe v. Wade. None. And as a matter of fact, that has been the biggest problem, is we allow them to step outside their jurisdiction. So what we need to do is actually start enforcing the jurisdiction. If you get dragged into court, the first thing out of your mouth, you should be challenging jurisdiction, because 9 times out of 10, there's probably improper jurisdiction with that, unless it's a traffic violation or something like that. But anyway, with that, I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TALK-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So back to the Kavanaugh thing, because really what I want to point out is, if you want to understand the disdain that the communists in our government have on the Constitution and liberties, and how they're willing to do anything and everything to stop anything that is going to disrupt their progress, because they really believe if they can keep Kavanaugh from getting seated, then they believe that they will be able to actually stack the court, or actually unman the court for the next 2 years if they actually have control over the Senate and the House. And they're banking on a big landslide. They want to throw this country into the ditch. That's all they want to do. They want to get us to a point, and I believe that that was Hillary's job, is to get us to a point of discarding the Constitution so that we can be moved into a statist form of government, just like China. It's such a good role model. I mean, everybody talks great about China. Anyway, I wanted to also really quickly talk about the 17th Amendment, because I kind of brushed over that Friday, and I need to do that again, though. What I want you to know is, if you look at the seven states And as a matter of fact, the Constitution Club, I'm hoping, is getting organized on this, and as well as the Guarantee Clause. And by connecting with them, you can get the information, hopefully, there and start working. But as all of this research gets done, I'd like to see everybody send an email to the email lists of all of these Congress or legislators in the seven states that have rejected and or have not chosen to even ratify the 17th Amendment. They have not given their consent, and so they need to be prompted to say, why are you complying when you are not forced to or not being compelled? The Constitution protects you from complying unless you give consent. The other thing, and I'm hoping they create a list, but there needs to be a list of all of the states that are actually wanting to repeal the 17th Amendment, that's saying, hey, let's repeal it, and let's talk to them by sending all of those legislators emails so that they can understand that all they need to do is just rescind their ratification and reject the 17th Amendment, just like Delaware did. And by doing so, we might actually not even have, I don't think we have to repeal it. I believe because they've allowed states in that particular amendment to, you know, come and go, and that they've now officially count as ratifying, then I believe that the states that had ratified can officially rescind and be officially counted as rejecting. And in doing that, I know that it opens up a big floodgate, but if I'm looking at all of the amendments in front of us, I do not see a big problem, because most of those amendments, you know, there are problems with them other than probably the first 10 or 12. The 13th and on, there's just problems with them. Why do we need most of those amendments? Now, but again, I do not see the threat of those even going away, because it's not like there's a lot of people that are even championing anything other than the 17th Amendment, and probably the 16th Amendment, the 14th Amendment. Those amendments through the Progressive Era, from the Civil War and through FDR and so forth, those amendments were the problematic amendments. So with that, I will just, I'm hoping that you'll be able to interface on the Constitution Club with all of that, so that, you know, we can actually start working together and overwhelm these legislators in these states with the promptings, hey, why are you doing this? You should be doing this. The other side of this that I wanted to get into was the Guarantee Clause. I'd love to see the Constitution Club or some organization pick up the mantle of identifying the states. And here I've got a list for you that can easily be divided: Washington, Oregon, California, Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, Michigan, possibly Mississippi, if you want to get rid of, you know, the population center in Mississippi. The same thing with Louisiana, the same thing with Georgia, even New York and Massachusetts. And I would even throw Texas on the table. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I think you could probably come up with 20, maybe 30, 20, 25 states. If you get 25 states starting to demand that they split and create another state out of that, you want to see Congress all of a sudden panic. If you want to see Congress all of a sudden understand the importance of defining the Guarantee Clause, this would be the huge driver behind it. Bottom line, every single one of these states, most all of these states, are dominated by red counties, and the county commissioners, all of the red county commissioners, should start communicating with each other, demanding that they call for a constitutional convention, that each county send a delegate or a set of delegates, but it's one county, one vote, on changes to their state constitution. I'd highly recommend revamping every single one of these to closing the doors to all these social programs. I would highly recommend that. Anyway, it is important that we start targeting these states, because by targeting the states and bringing this awareness to the state legislators, this will serve two functions. It'll serve the function that they realize that they don't have to be relegated by population centers, that there are other avenues of forcing the population centers to live with their own consequences or to get with the ball of the Republican form of government and move everything back out to the counties for the Senate. It would literally change what we would see as a lot of hard blue states would instantly become purple, because every Senate would shift. Because if the counties were represented as appropriately, then California, even Illinois, those counties would literally shift in becoming a purple state, because the Senate would shift to being red and dominated by Republicans. This is how you change the landscape, by using the Constitution, period. And so the outcome would be a benefit for everybody. Either way, we would all benefit from that. So with that, let me get into these ratification debate highlights that I've kind of gone through just recently. And today, like I said, I've got Madison in the queue. And so with that, I have to ask the question, are the words in our founding documents that I'm going to cite and read here today, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we've been taught from our progressive education system, these college professors and so forth and so on, are those the words of deceit? Somebody is lying, because clearly things are not connecting. They tell us that we have a very tight and defined and limited government. But our education system tells us that it's not. It's, you know, the federal government can do whatever it wants to. It has all these great powers. So this is what Mr. Madison said. But the honorable member sees great danger in the provision concerning the militia. This I conceive to be an additional security to our liberty without diminishing the power of the states in any considerable degree. It appears to me so highly expedient that I should imagine, because you've heard me, by the way, I'm just going to break here. You've heard me talk about the importance of the militia, and I don't get a chance to talk enough about this, but I have talked several times about the necessity of stopping federal funding and militarizing police forces as well as the sheriff's office. The militia needs to be revitalized, and the money and training needs to go to your neighbors, to you, to those people who are willing to live up to the obligation of the Constitution and become a member of the militia. Because when we become a member of the militia, it shifts our security away from the despots of local government and moves it back to the citizens. And so anyway, the authority of the training the militia and appointing the officers is reserved to the states. Congress ought to have the power to establish a uniform discipline throughout the states and to provide for the execution of the laws, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. These are the only cases wherein they can interfere with the militia and the obvious necessity of having power over them in these cases. Most or cases must convince any reflecting mind. Without uniformity of discipline, military bodies would be incapable of action. Without a general controlling power to call forth the strength of the Union to repel invasions, the country might be overrun and conquered by foreign enemies. Remember, they did not want a standing army. They wanted to use the militia as its primary defense. Without such a power to suppress insurrections, our liberties might be destroyed by domestic faction and domestic tyranny be established. That's what we're talking about. Is this not insightful? This is exactly what I'm talking about, that we're being overrun by communists within, the enemy within us. And he goes on and says, "But sir, on whom does this general government depend?" Because remember, they wanted to get rid of this militia part. And he says, the general government depends on who? It derives its authority from these governments. I'm quoting here. It derives its authority from these governments. He's talking about the states. And from the same sources from which their authority is derived. That's we the people, my friends. So, oh, I'm at a hard break. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to get through this. So I'm just starting on a new paragraph, so I will just repeat this when we get back. But is this not prophetic? Here he is, he's talking about the importance of using militias instead of a standing army, instead of a military-powered law enforcement agency. We the people. Anyway, we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let me go on, because again, this is a really, really important statement, or I should say oration from Mr. Madison, President Madison later on. But at this point in time, he was just a smart guy. He was probably the smartest guy in the room. Or at least the best prepared. But sir, on whom does this general government depend? It derives its authority from these governments, from the same sources from which their authority is derived. The members of the federal government are taken from the same men from whom those of the state legislatures are taken. If we consider the mode in which the federal representatives will be chosen, we shall be convinced that the general will never destroy the individual governments, and this conviction must be strengthened by an attention to the construction of the Senate. The representatives will be chosen probably under the influence of the members of the state legislatures, but there is not the least probability that the election of the latter will be influenced by the former. 160 members represents this Commonwealth. He's talking about Virginia. In one branch of the legislature are drawn from the people at large and must ever possess more influence than the few men who will be elected to the general legislature. Those who wish to become federal representatives must depend upon their credit with that class of men who will be the most popular. Now, I want you to understand what's happening here, because this is not most popular amongst the people, because there's a word I've highlighted. Will be most popular in their counties. In other words, the boundaries for congressional districts were counties. They weren't gerrymandered. They weren't drawn along. They drew the boundaries based on counties. And the reason why is because counties were seats of government. That's why you have a court. That's why you have a sheriff. That's why the states were drawn up in a Republican form. And that's why they had a bicameral legislative body that was created after the Constitution in every single state. So, as I point out here, as I go further and I say, I'll just repeat, those who wish to become federal representatives must depend on their credit with that class of men who will be the most popular in their counties, because these are the state legislators. If they want to go into the Senate, these state legislators who are the most popular in their counties, they didn't even gerrymander their own representatives. The representatives of the people were still bound within the counties. The senators were still bound within the counties, just like the states. Wyoming has one representative and two senators. They're guaranteed a minimum of one based on their population. If they grow, then once they get over a certain amount, they get another one. And the whole point here is to ensure that the people, as well as the seat of government, has its representation. Both are constituents. The state and the people within the state of Wyoming are constituents. That's why they have representation in both the House and representation for the state in the Senate. Well, we kind of lost that with the 17th Amendment. That's why we want to get the Constitution Club and everybody on board with moving these changes. The whole point I'm trying to bring out here is at the state level, the state legislators, or more specifically, the representatives, were bound by counties. They didn't cross county lines. You weren't able to just vote, you know, for somebody in another county. Your representative came from your county, and your county was guaranteed at least one representative. Now, how do you think, you know, we've been fooled for so long. That's why there's 10 counties, a couple of 10 county groups, I believe, in California, that they all share the same representative and senator. How is it that those senators who probably live in the most populated county of all the 10, how are they really representing all of these other disparate counties that may be out in the desert or these few folks out in the way in the boonies in the mountains? They're not. That is why the counties were guaranteed a representative. And that's why they completely got away from that in the mid-1800s, long before Nebraska became a state, because they stopped really understanding and they started interpreting and moving us deliberately towards a democracy. So let me go on. Who generally respect the people of the states, it is almost certain, therefore, that the deliberations of the members of the Federal House of Representatives will be directed to the interest of the people of America. As to the other branch, the senators will be appointed by the legislatures of the state, and though elected for 6 years, I do not conceive that they will soon forget the source from whence they derive their political existence. Today, our senators, they understand their source of political existence is the lobbyists and globalists who pump millions of dollars into their campaigns. If you want to really look at the desperate differences in race, look this year at Washington State and the money that Marie Cantwell is going to spend on her election for her to try to keep her seat, and ask, where does that money come from? How much of the millions of dollars that she's going to be spending on her Senate race here in Washington against Susan Hutchins, who is a stellar person, how much is, you know, she going to be getting, and how much will Susan Hutchins be able to get? Here's the thing. The senators are bringing in money from outside of the state. In other words, these elections are being influenced by people that should not have the ability to influence them. I truly believe that companies, I truly believe that people ought to be able to invest or be able to throw money at their politicians to go represent them in Washington. But I do not believe that people or companies should be able to invest or, you know, throw money across state boundaries. But because they don't have that, then we have to do that, and we have to start throwing. That's why I've asked you to throw money into Wyoming's elections so that we can actually persuade a state to stand up for us. If we can get David to stand up against Goliath, David being the state, Goliath being the federal government, I believe that other states will recognize that they too can be Goliath. They will recognize that they too will be a David, and they will recognize that David needs help. I believe the Dakotas, I believe Utah, Idaho, Kansas, Oklahoma, there are lots of states, and before we know it, we'll be in the 20s, and before you know it, the federal government will be reshaped and put back into the framework of the Constitution. That's what Republic Review will do. So, this was a very eloquent and very clear and concise message that, as far as I'm, it highlights the whole point of the importance of the militia. It highlights the importance of the counties and the state governments. And you can't ignore the fact that we have completely gotten off track. And that's why they want, you know, these population centers to control the states. That's why they want the money from these globalists to be able to continue moving us closer and closer to a populist democracy so that they can literally get rid of the Constitution. The Constitution wasn't there to protect, you know, most of the people or the majority. The Constitution was there to protect the minority. And I'm telling you that the minorities in the states are suffering. If you look at these less populated counties, look in your own state, look at the less populated county, and how many representatives do they have? They're probably having to share their representatives with whom? With probably a lot of other counties, and they're probably having a real hard time being heard. I'll bet you anything, if you go and talk to the chair of the GOP within that county, I'll almost guarantee you that they'll say, yeah, we don't have any representation. We're hurting here. They're not bringing us anything. All the money that we're getting out of our representative seems to be going to the county that they're coming from. And oh, by the way, it's the most populated county. That is why Madison said this. Those who wish to become federal representatives must depend on their credit with a class of men who will be the most popular in their counties. Not their states or the cities, the counties. Anyway, I know I've really driven this a lot, and I hope you at least appreciate the passion that I have. I really don't have the time to get into some of these other comments, but I've got a really beautiful quotation right here from Madison that I want to get into, and it's got lots of red text, but I do not have the time to get through this. I've got about a minute left. So what I would like to just basically assert is that as we wrap up Constitution Week, if you have not personally read the Constitution, I plead and beg you that to take the time to read that thing, at least on a regular basis, at least once a year. Read these founding documents that actually support the definition of the Constitution, like the ratification debates. I know it's difficult. But if you want to understand, if you want to be the most prepared and the smartest guy in the room when it comes to discussing the Constitution, I guarantee you, you read the ratification debates, nobody can argue with you, because these are the brightest minds. We're talking about Hancock. We're talking about Hamilton. We're talking about Madison, Mason. I mean, they were there and they were all discussing the Constitution and defining it. Monroe, even Marshall. You could see what a hypocrite Marshall was as he spoke during the ratification in contrast to his hallmark rulings. Well, with that, I'm done for this week. I wish you well. I will be back next week. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, but I do need your help. Just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. God bless, and I'll be back Monday. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.